lift up praise and honor to you. Lord, your word tells us that you inhabit the praise of your people. Lord, I hope that you teach us to praise you in the good times and in the bad, in the high moments.
I wish you'd get rid of these kids, shouldn't we? No amens. I guess we'll keep the kids in here today. Just kidding. Oh, these kids are like, no, I'm not staying. All right, so let's dismiss. I'm supposed to give directions. The ones that go downstairs, and the ones that go to the back, go to the back. Age groups, you know which ones they are. If you end up at the wrong place, make sure you get snacks. Where are you going? I promise you, those of you that are fanning yourselves right now, I started with the air conditioner at 66 this morning at 8 o'clock. Y'all just hot winded. I don't know. Chris Auber likes to leave that door open over there when he's greeting people, so it just happens. Where'd he go? That's half of my amen corner. I got nervous. Like to point out this morning, at least this group of teenagers here decided to go, you know what? I'll stand and make him awkwardly uncomfortable and sit on the front row. Speak about all the things that we learned, right? There you are. I missed you. I'm sorry. All right. Good morning. First things first, I don't think I usually wear this headset, and Luke has got a weird-shaped head. Because it's in my mind right now. I'm not going to lie. It fits weird. Stephen told me, to be clear. He's like, I've got yours if you want to wear it. And I still said no. So if you see me messing with it, it's my fault. All right. I am grateful this morning if you are here for the very first time. Wow. Please come back again. This is not always the greatest representation of what we do here. This is Justin. I am sorry in advance. I even brought a notebook today. It means Mexican will still be open when we make it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Good enough. All right. No, he asked me, he said, hey, I cannot get out of work. About a week or so ago, you want to preach? The answer is always yes, right? The answer is always yes. But it's been a weird, fun week because I said, Lord, all right. So there we go. I am going to be a little awkward this morning because I find that I need to provide a little context to where my mind has been. And I'm not a crutch for ADD in general, but man, I got a lot of stuff going on in my mind. So when I start getting something laying on a baseline, I have a hard time getting away from it. I don't see my wife, so she can't say amen. We can talk about her. She's not here, right? Did she go downstairs? Nice. Stinks to be her. No, I really do. I got a lot going on. So I have a hard time when Luke asks me, do you want to preach to the adults? Because that means I have to act like an adult. Right. And so at least half of you that know me are brave enough to say, amen, that's not going to happen right there. And it's the reality. And so I say, you know, I have zero issues. I love and despise my calling in life all the time, but I am not scared because I know my call and I don't want to fight the Holy Spirit. So when he says, can you preach? The answer is always yes. But I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. And Luke likes to do this sometimes. So if you're watching, I apologize. I don't know if you noticed, but Trevor and Haley are not here. I thought it was a good idea to get them from the youth group a night stay at Stonewall. I didn't know they were going to use it on a night that I was going to preach. So hopefully they're watching on their drive home refreshed, sunburnt, whatever it may be. But Luke likes to start with, where were we last week? Can y'all see this thing? Let's think of my peripheral. Luke always starts with, I know it's going to be one of those days, and I apologize. I got a lot of things. He likes to start with, where were we last week? So for those of you that weren't here, he can kind of make sure you understand because he likes to go in a lot of order. And so it gives a little bit of a context on how we get to where we're at this week. Well, I'm not one of those kind of pastors that preaches line for line. I'm just not smart enough. No amens go right there. I appreciate that love. But here's what I've got to tell you. I have a couple of things that I have not been able to shake from my mind, and they plagued me. And so I said, Lord, I need you to clear this, because I got a lot of voices in my head and I got a lot of things going on. But if I have to have a new message for you guys for a Sunday morning that is relevant in 2025, I need the Lord to provide it to me. But I also need him to take away all of the things that I'm working on, because I am just as human as you are. I'm going to go back over here. I appreciate that. I am just as human as you are. So on a random Tuesday afternoon, the Lord is still dealing with my life as he is yours. So I have my own studies. I have my own things. I have my own circle of friends that are pressing things into my life. And I have to try to figure out how to set all those aside for a moment while I can learn something new to preach to you guys that is absent of that. Today, I can't do that. Today I'm forcing you to go along a journey with me on where my mind is at, because I can't get rid of it, and it's a frustration, and I like it at the same time. So I have three different passages that we are going to dabble on. Mr. Mike White back here said, you got anything you want me to put? No. I said, no. I don't know where we're going to land. I'd like y'all to be as surprised as I am. But so I have a good circle of friends that loves to send me things, and Phil hounded me for a couple of days. Are you watching this? Are you watching this? Are you listening to this? Are you listening to this? And it was always, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. Finally, I did, okay? And the problem is when I did, it hurt my feelings and it was fire. Can I say that? Was it lit? Not lit? Not lit. All right, we're going to move away. Listen, I listened to it and it was fire. And sometimes I really thoroughly enjoy getting down with the Old Testament every once in a while, because I love seeing the correlation of how can the Old Testament still be relevant to us in 2025, right? Because that's we're living right now to try to figure out how the Bible is relevant. We are going to study and read it and say, God, what do you have for me in my life based on that text that I just read, those 66 books that Phil just talked about? I love going back to the Old Testament and going, my gosh, how that intertwines. That is ridiculous. That is dope. Means a totally different thing to some of the old people, so I'm not looking that way. Sorry. It could be. I stopped at one cup of coffee because Sydney threatened my life. So we went to water, and as you can see, that's not my thing. Wow. Sorry. All right, so I listened to a message a couple weeks ago, and it was in Exodus 21. And it was so plain. And it was such a good understanding. And the story in Exodus 21 in the beginning was a bondservant and a master. And all it said was, you have to work as a bondservant for 6 years. Slave to your master. And at the end of 6 years, on your seventh year, you are free to go. Free to go. Paid in full. No strings attached. Go on. There were some caveats. If you guys are flipping there, you're going to go, it's not exactly true. If you had a wife or you had kids, they had to stay. Like, there are some things. The moral of that story is, on the seventh year, you are free to go. But if you go read Exodus 21 and you read about that bondservant got to his seventh year and his master said, you are free to go. And he said, I will not. I will not. And oftentimes in 2025, I look at those things in the Old Testament and go, well, it's super hard back. Like, what am I taking from that? Because, like, rules and laws, how does it apply? But Lord have mercy, when that bondservant found a master worth staying with. Have mercy when that bondservant found someone worth surrendering his life to with no desire out. The problem is that bondservant said out loud, I will not go free. How awkward in a society of we are right now. Mandatory, but then you can go, no strings attached. But the bondservant got to the end and said, I will not go free. I have found someone and something worth serving for life. Now, the problem is, in that book, when you read it at the end of that, if you choose to stay, I don't know if you're any electricians out here, but if you've ever heard of a scratch all or an awl, an AWL, anybody know what that is? I don't have to look at you, sir. You've been around, like, you and Moses use one together. But They would take an awe. When he said, I will not go free, he rolled out to the doorpost. He put his face up near it, and they shoved a hole through his ear and stuck it in the wood of the doorpost. Yeah, that's awkward thinking, right? Visual listeners like I am, massively awkward, but that was the price that he would pay. Here is the second side of that. He is now never allowed to go again. Your opportunity came. You make your choice. You live with it, and forever he is bound. But that bondservant said, I will not go out free. I could, but I won't. I can, but I will not. I have the choice, but I'll turn it down. I can leave, but I'm staying. My life is my own, but I choose to give it to someone else. He has found a somewhere and a somebody worth serving. Tell me this morning if you have found a somewhere and a someone there. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, listen. The reality is it's Old Testament understanding, but why, Lord, do you have this in the book of Exodus for me, a dude to read in 20? That's why. I have found someone somewhere worth serving. The most offensive part is we live in a society that wants to be free. They want to be free. They don't want to be faithful. It's not us. Listen, hear me when I say, I've always heard this said, what I preach has, it's not us. It's that other church down the road, and it's not the one you're thinking about. It's full of the people that none of us know. But we live in a society that we want to be free. Free to do what we want. Free to watch what we want, free to go where we want, free to do all of the things, yet show up on Sunday morning and claim. I'll go as far as saying, I think Phil likes to use the term fence rider. I don't know if you've ever sat on a top of a 6-foot privacy fence, but it ain't comfortable. But man, we got a lot of people that love to live there. 1 foot chilling on that side, free to do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want. But Sunday morning, we are faithful. The Lord is looking for us to be faithful and not free, right? So I'm sorry if that offends you. It offended me too, right? So that's why I can't get it off my mind. That's why I can't get past. Like, I need to preach a new message, Lord, but you're not done dealing with, I'll go as far. You're not done dealing with me on all those times, because I took this in as a message. This ain't me. I didn't write this down. This is 100% something that I listened to, but it stuck in my mind, and it is plaguing me to this day on a daily when I look and go, I need to be faithful and not free. Because it's weird to say that out loud, because we love to be free to choose and do whatever we want. And at the end of the day, God gave you your free will. You are free to do whatever you want, anytime. I'm going to shut this because, again, those voices include all those little ones. Oh, that's me. My bad. Sorry. Squirrel moments. When they show up, I just have to do it. The Lord wants you to be faithful. The Lord is looking for the church in 2025 to be faithful and desire to serve him wholly, even though you are free to make your own choices. You got to get to that spot. Where did Ray go? I wasn't listening when he said 30-something or 40-something years ago when he decided to surrender his life to the Lord. He decided on that day, I have found a master that is worthy to serve. Stick that all in my ear, nail it to a doorpost, and make me seen that I am yours. And every day we've got to do that. So that's baseline number one. Awkward, right? Fair enough. I will take heed. Passage number two. Still gonna. And this happened all within the same week. I can't take in a lot because I can't hold a lot. I got a small brain. It's not the place for that, Levi. Not the place for that. But I took this in the same week, and I said, Lord, you know, because I always know that I'm going to have an opportunity to preach up here often. Even if that's not y'all's jam, you blame Luke. It's just, he says, do you want to? And I always am going to say yes. So the second thing that got stuck in my mind that I still cannot get rid of is the book of 2 Kings. And it's a really cool story. Because one of the things that we've been talking about Let me just glimpse you a little bit for a second into the youth of into the lives of the youth group. Some of the things is trying to figure out how to teach these kids to access the power of the Holy Spirit. It's my number one concern for their lives right now is how do you access, and I don't think it doesn't apply to you. I think that wholeheartedly as an adult, we have to figure that out too. How do you access the power of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, why then do you still fail? Like that's the number one thing that we fight through, that free will, which is why I believe that we have the ability to be free, but God still wants us to be faithful. So the second message that is stuck in my mind is in 2 Kings, and it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. It's Elisha, the man of God, and a Shunammite woman. You don't have to spell it. I wrote it a couple times, and I said, you ever wrote something that you're like, that doesn't even look right? And then you write it again, and you're like, that's even worse, but it's the same letters. I got it four times on here, and I just quit taking notes because I said, you know the story. Like, I'm not going to write Shunammite again. Like, it's just weird. But the story, you don't have to raise your hand if you know it. Let me just tell you for a minute. Let me just break it down into the Justin notes. So Elisha, great man of God, is wandering about a town. He comes and goes. He does things of the Lord. And this Shunammite woman sees that he comes through all the time. And she's like, you know what? Dude is doing some cool things in our town. She looks at her husband and says, you know what we should do? We should build him like an apartment. Like we should actually it's really awkward, and I'm a visual reader, so like I'm still trying to envision this, and it's kind of cool, but you know me in construction, we don't get down. No amens there. Work party yesterday also was lit. I'm gonna go up here because I was making noise. But she says, let's put him on the roof, give him a couple walls, put a bed in there, I'll make him some food. And so the next time he starts coming to town, she hangs, hey, appreciate what you're doing around here. Hey, look, I built you this thing, and it's yours to use anytime you want to come to town, stay, I'll feed you, I'll do all of the things, wash your clothes, whatever, here it is. And they call it a prophet's chamber, and it's really cool to like tie things together. Like a lot of churches have parsonages, which are right next door, and they are all a derivative of this prophet's chamber that she built. So he said, Elisha said, man, I appreciate that. So it went on for a little bit. And he's enjoying his little studio apartment that is fully furnished, and all he's got to do is show up, and all of the things that he used to have to, I don't think he ever had to worry about it, but it's all taken care of. So finally, he comes to her one day and says, hey, I appreciate all of this. I appreciate all of this. What can I do for you? She's a pretty humble lady, right? It already said that she was moderately wealthy. She had good stature. She didn't really need anything. She had the extra cash to throw a rooftop penthouse for Elisha. Like, so he said, do I need to mention you to the kings? Do I need to put your name in the newspaper? What can I do for you to gain more status? And she's like, I don't need anything. I'll take nothing. He said, nah, we can't do that. So he looks at Gehazi, which is his right-hand man, coolest name in the world. I can't lie. I like to say it. I'll try not to do it too many times, but if I was able to have more kids, maybe we're just going to have a Gehazi. Be cool for some of y'all teachers in the room trying to announce that Aaron. You know what I'm saying? But he looks at Gehazi and he says, hey, we got to do something. We got to do something for this lady. Like, she has provided all of this for us. I got to do something. And he said, well, she don't have a child. Okay? He says, hey, you don't have a child. By this time next year, you're going to have a son. Anybody know what she said? Other than Phil, because I know you listen to it. She said, don't play with me. I'm old. Don't mess around. 100% her response was, don't fool with my mind. Guess what she had? Yeah, thankful for all one of you. Guess what she had? Cool. All right, here's where it goes downhill. She had a son. And then a big gap. I don't know the timeline. I'm not Luke. I'm not deeply that studied, but there is a period, a little page break for the next paragraph, and then it says, and when he was grown, y'all can picture that. If it's 13, 7 and a half, you're not grown yet. Up. When he was grown, he goes out to the field, and he sees his dad. His dad is working in the field, and he says, my head, I chuckle at this. I do. I really do. You want to go read 2 Kings chapter 4 when you leave That's your prerogative. I'd advise you to do. Guess what Dad said? Did you read it? 100%. Dad's out working in the field. He's doing whatever he's doing. It said it. I don't remember. Dad, my head. Dad said, someone take him to his mom. Like, have you ever been to any sporting event? Like, Matthew has played baseball for a lot of years, and if he ever goes down out there, I duck. His mom's here. It's fine. Go get his mom. Well, here's the problem. They take him back to his mom, and I'll try to paraphrase this because this is not actually what I'm preaching today. Maybe it is. I don't really know. Take him back to his mom, and guess, this is awkward for me, right? So he goes, this makes me think that he's not super, super grown because he goes back to the house and he sits on his mom's lap. I don't think that can happen. Can I try? Can I sit? No? Okay. Even Levi's size sitting on your lap would feel kind of weird, but he sat on his mom's lap. She rocked him for a minute, and guess what happened? What? Some of y'all been reading your Old Testament. He died at noon. Dead. Awkward. This is the son that the man of God said you can have. I find it weird. Let's go back to accessing power for a minute and where I am plagued as a young pastor and why this is stuck in my head, because it's what I've been praying for the Lord to teach my teenagers is how do we access power? What's the first thing that lady did? She said, he's dead. I'm going to take him up the stairs and I'm going to lay him on the bed of the man of God that used to spend time here. I don't know if he still comes around all the time. He's not there right now. I'm not going to read into something that is not there, and it doesn't matter in this sense. She said, he's dead. I'm going to take him upstairs to the man of God. That is the last place I saw the power of the Lord work, and I'm going there. She lays him on the bed and she hollers at the dudes outside and she says, saddle up my donkey. Don't read it in the King James, you'll giggle. Just saying, I did. I was driving. I was doing about 85 once this started going on because it started to get exciting for me because the guy that's preaching this is laying it down. Like, he is striping the road, and it's legit. But this is just baseline for me. She says, saddle up my donkey, and I am going to head to town, and I am going to find this man of God. Why? The last place she saw the power of the Lord was at that room where he came to. Nothing was going to stop her from going there and finding him. She rolls in. She finds him. She sees him in a far off distance. It's really cool, the interaction. He says to Gehazi, hey, isn't that Shunammite woman? Like, he has a mutual love for her, right? He says, ask her, is all well? As most moms do, she lied. She said, all is well. She got close to the man of God, laid down, and snatched on to his ankles. And he knew in that moment, why do you deceive me? All is not well. And she said, my son, I said to you, I asked you, don't play with me. You gave me a son. He's dead. He said, okay. He looked at Gehazi four times, and said, take my staff, go back to her house, take your own donkey, go heal her son. You know what that mom said? Whew, I'm not a mom, and I'm not the super sentimental type, but you know what that mom said? And y'all can read this later, because I need you to grasp the understanding of it. That mom says, I will not leave your side. You are the power of the Lord that I know, and I will not go back without you. I'm holding your feet. What's Elisha do? Okay. They go back to the house. He still tells Gehazi to go upstairs and handle it and bring him back. It don't work. Elisha has to go up and lay his body on top of that dead boy, breathe into his life, breathe into his mouth, and get up and walk around the room. Like, it's epic. I don't want to dive deep into it because that's not where I need to be today. It just is not. But it's epic. That's going to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have got to figure out how to access that. Listen, I am still plagued to this day of understand, and this is why I know that these tie together. And the Lord and I argued and fought a little bit this week as I said, Lord, I need black and white. Stop. I don't need the greens and the yellows. Like, I need you to not be in the weeds with me here. I need you to tell me, do these come together? I can't get this off my mind. I can't get this principle off my mind. How does the principle of Exodus 21 and 2 Kings 4, how does it go together? Well, you are the master that I am ready to serve with all of the fiber of my being. I can, but I will not. I can be free to do what I want, but I choose not to. I choose you. I am a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I live, and I've got to figure out how to access the power that I need. And the weirdest part, and this is the part that's still, it's gray matter area for me on how to explain to other people in the world, I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, yet I still choose to do stupid stuff. Appreciate y'all not saying amen there. I'll put y'all with me. I am a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still have the free will to do stupid stuff. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, comes in, takes the sin nature out, replaces it with himself, still leaves this flesh, some larger than others, and I still have to fight it, yet I still don't always access the power of the Spirit. Y'all aren't as excited on that one to be on that boat with me. I'll go back to me. I still don't always access the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, even though it indwells inside. Once I get it, I'm not removing it, right? I'm fishing it out of there and throwing it on the side. If you actually got it, borderline, sorry. If you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's there, but you've got access. And this has been my prayer for my teenagers, because as they get out into the real world, which sucks, by the way. Hang on, one more time. Which stinks, by the way. Okay, the adults in the room can say that out loud. Like, the life ain't always going to be great. Like, the world is not all about Jesus Christ. You're not going to go to the Mountain Mart right over here to pick up your cotton candy Alani and run into just Jesus followers. No, right? It's not the world. But in here, it's a little safe spot. Your shoulders can go down a little bit. You can go, man, you tell me that you're preaching on something other than this. You need to shut up and move on. Nice. Nobody. So these are the two principles that are stuck in my head. And so I start telling the Lord, I said, hey, make these go away so I can teach something else. Because I don't want to say the same thing that I've always said. Like, I'll leave here and the devil will go, you say that all the time. I do. I really do. I do. And that guy, he talks to me, and I don't like it. I don't ask for it, but he's alive and well, and he was fighting me this morning. Like, I was still on the phone with Phil at 2 o'clock this morning, and I don't know how he looks so good for getting less sleep than I do, but before I even woke up this morning to be at praise team practice at 8 o'clock here, he had already texted me and said, I'm still praying for your message. He knows what I'm talking about today. He at least knows where I'm at. He has no idea what I'm going to say. Makes two of us. But I said, Lord, here's the problem. I fought the Lord the beginning of this week, and I'm going to expose something that I probably shouldn't say out loud, but you can judge me if you want. I had frustrations in my life, church-related, self-brought on. I did it. I don't always do things the way I'm supposed to do, and I let them frustrate me instead of moving on and continuing with the work. And I prayed and prayed all the beginning of the week. I said, Lord, I get those things out of my mind and tell me what, because I don't prepare this for you. If you are here this morning or watching, sunburnt by the pool at Stonewall Jackson, if you are watching or here, this message is for you. If you're not here, it's the Lord's divine. It's his doing. Take a breath. He let that happen. It is what it is. The problem is I had frustrations, things that I did myself. And it wasn't until the Lord absolutely had to say, bro, you have got to shut up. He doesn't say that to you? Miss Jean is like, not in my day, sir. We don't do that. I'm sorry. It wasn't until the reality of you have got to stop is you being pig-headed enough, your frustrations are not warranted. You've got to get over that. And the moment, it was Thursday, 100%, Thursday, just a few days ago, that I'm like, Lord, I know that you wait till the last minute to help a brother out, but it was Thursday before he looked me in the face and said, get over yourself. Usually it's only my wife that tells me that. This time it was the Lord. So I said, fine, I'm not frustrated anymore. I understand it's me. I did it. I don't do things in sequence correctly. I get things started. I don't finish them. Like, I have a litany list of things that are not great. None of y'all need to amen that or write them down. I know them already. The moment I got over it, and the moment I said that, fine, we'll figure it out. Don't be frustrated because they're mad because you're mad, and it's all just dumb. So here we are. The minute I said that, I sat down in my chair downstairs, and I opened the Bible, and I said, Lord, this is what's plaguing me, and he brings me to Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Absolutely love Ephesians. It's noon. Who did that? All right, we're going to blaze through this because it's important. The minute that the Lord showed up and told me to get over myself and get out of my way, he started flooding Ephesians 3, starting at 14. And I said, wow, okay? But Lord, that has a lot to do with accessing power. It has a lot to do with serving you wholeheartedly at your capacity. And he said, I know. I'm for it. So here we go. Ephesians 3, starting at 14. You guys can just listen and you don't have to follow. I didn't tell you, Mike. I'm sorry. But he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to pause and pray. Lord, I know my time is up. I need you to come through me, say the things that you would have them take from this passage this morning, not of mine, but of yours. Amen. He brings me to this place, and again, I am a visual reader. I have to paint a cartoon picture in my head, and it starts out being awkward, because what does it say Paul is doing? Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus, but what is he doing? What? One of y'all, I saw y'all, you were going there. No? Okay, fine. He said, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He is on his knees praying for his church. It's deep. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit and his inner being. And as I continued to read this, I said, Lord, that lines up. That lines up with where I'm stuck with. And every time he says, duh, duh, like, hello, like, whatever. Anyway, this is the prayer that we should be praying for people. You ever prayed for somebody? Y'all heard that? She's, yes. A little bit rhetorical, but it's cool. I like it over here. We're friends. It's okay. You're not offended. Sorry. Sometimes we use Jesus as a little ATM machine. Lord, I pray for this guy. He needs this. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Think of it for a moment that Paul, praying for the church, is on his knees. Already an awkward visual, right? Hey, will you pray for me? Absolutely. Boom. Psh, on the knees. What? We don't do that sort of thing. But it's deep. He says, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit already in your inner being. Do you pray like that for people? Not one of those yes, no questions out loud. I probably know the answer. I've not met a lot, and I've been dabbling in the church for a hot minute. It is an abnormality when somebody starts to pray for them to hit their knees in a corporate setting. Maybe they do it at home. I tried it last night. I felt awkward, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was the only one there. I knelt next to my rowing machine, and like before I was done praying, like I don't know who was telling me, but like, Lord, you need to get on that thing. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm praying Lord, please take these voices out of my head. I don't want to get on the rowing machine. As you can, it's just not my jam. But people don't do it. Here's what I would ask for you in your life. Start praying individually for people. Do you pray for people individually, specifically? Do you surround yourself with people that do that? Are you a person that does that? The only reason that I can say that easily is I'm not always the greatest intentional prayer. You think it's by coincidence that when I preach, Phil prays? It's not. He has a connection to the Lord that is beyond understanding. It's fantastic. I love to listen to it. Gets me fired up to preach every time. But surround yourself with people that pray for you intentionally. I have a couple. Sometimes it drives me nuts. They're not here this morning, so I can say it. I don't know if they're watching, and it's okay. Trevor and Haley drive me crazy. 100% up the wall. As far as the wall I can climb at my size. Sometimes it drives. Was that the baby? Bro. Sometimes there's opportune places for amen. Just because I'm larger than I'm supposed to be, Sawyer. Lord. Anyway, they drive me crazy, but you know what they do? They pray for me intentionally. There is no generic answer for Haley Auber at all. I'm good. No, bro. 100%. The return text is, no, bro. I don't believe that. Phil Schaefer, same way. Tell me more. What's happening? And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he prays for me intentionally. Are you that guy? Do you have those people that surround you? How are you accessing the power of the Holy Spirit within you? That's where you start. You find those people that are a bond servant to Jesus, that are ready to pray for the people around them, because there is work that we do out, and then there is what happens in here. And we need those people in here praying for you. And the minute that you get those people praying for you, you figure out how to become it. I don't take good notes. I'm not a well-organized guy. That's why it gets people frustrated at me. I don't do things that I'm supposed to. I am not as intentional as I need to be. And the Lord also is working on me, as he may be you. Somebody say amen. Thank you. I will give you that $5 bill later. But the reality is you've got to find those people. So here is Paul. He is on his knees to the church at Ephesus. Go read about the church at Ephesus. They were good Christian people. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, why have you lost your first love? So we already know they were, what do you call them? Phil, fence riders. They were chilling up on top of the fence. Why have you lost your first love? You were bought out. Bond servant to Jesus, working headlong. Now you've climbed your way preferably up to a big shadow box wood fence over the chain link, because chain link would be super uncomfortable to sit on, but the visual is still the same. Sitting on the fence with 1 foot over here, 1 foot over there. Jesus says to this church, why have you lost your first love? That's why Paul is on his knees to them. But he prays to them according to the riches of his glory. Figure out what the riches of God's glory is. Can somebody quantify that? You can't. I'm going to move on. That he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The Holy Spirit, I wrote it down. I'm just going to read it. The Holy Spirit needs to enter somebody and change them from the inside out to where they become a slave to what is right and they desire the things of God. Man, if we're going to break down a life of Christ broken down super simplistically, here's my question for you this morning. Have you had the Holy Spirit entering into you to where it changes you from the inside out to where you become a slave? And I wrote it in all caps because I said, Lord, you just did it. You tied it back to the beginning. I am a bondservant. I have found a master. And just because I can't, I will serve you. Have you become a slave to what is right? That's a crazy cool statement. Think about being a slave to what is right. I can't do anything but try to do what is right, and now I desire the things of God. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit working inside of your life. You become a slave to what's right, and your desires are headed in the north direction. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. I'm back into the passage there that he is praying to them. He is praying for them. He is praying for the Lord to do miraculous things in their life, but he's praying for things that are already accessible in them. they were or are Christians in that space. He's not presenting the gospel to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. I'm talking to the church. He tells them, he said, according to the riches of his glory, may he grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what? Anybody reading it? Sorry, I did that to you and I didn't leave it up there. It says through faith. So I've been down the rabbit hole for a week of, Lord, how do we access that power? Because it's always a really weird misnomer for me. If you've got the Holy Spirit, why doesn't it work for you? Maybe I'm the only one. Y'all don't have to say amen right there, but I'll go over here. I have been on a tangent for a moment going, if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, why doesn't it do it for you? Why does it allow me to do things that I shouldn't do? Hopefully y'all are in the same boat. Maybe none of y'all making any weird things, but that's the life. But we have got to have the faith to access that spirit that is within us. Wow. It's two over here. I'm going to go, y'all, you too. I like it. That faith we have to use to grant the knowledge of the spirit that lives inside of us. Because I need the power. Good morning, Garth. I didn't see you right there. That's a squirrel moment. I appreciate you being here. I know, I said the same thing. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. And I will not spend a lot of time, Mason, it's not funny. Like, I'm weird. I got a lot going on in my mind, and just sometimes these things pop up, and I like to see all y'all here, but whatever. I don't want to dive deep because I'm running out of time. I don't want to dive deep in the thought process of being rooted and grounded in love. But I have to have the visual for a moment of the seed that gets cast out on rocky places. I think Phil told me yesterday that he went to a certified arborist school. I didn't Google it. But we talked about two different root types. Any of y'all studied roots? Nobody? Cool. So I can give you a 30,000-foot view, and y'all are going to be like, he's probably right. I don't know where my phone is, Phil, but the first one was the taproot. I just need you to look up what you texted me and told me the other root is called. The first one is the taproot. That's that one center strand that goes straight down for as far as the world can see, right? That root of that tree goes down. It is the taproot. It is into the source. It is what helps it grow. It is the necessity. What's the other one called? Fibrous. I probably should have remembered that, but I got a lot in my mind. Fibrous roots, those are those little goofy ones that just kind of run along the ground. Probably the ones that jack up your concrete on your driveway and kind of go out into all the things. Those aren't necessities for life. Those are just kind of doing their own thing. The Lord wants you to be a taproot. Can I say that? He wants you to get into the power as a taproot. So he says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Are you rooted and grounded? I guess this is the part in the sermon where I turn it from what I read, because this is what he presses to me. Are you rooted and grounded in love? Trying to understand the fullness of God is crazy deep. Thanks. I wasn't expecting it there, but I do like it. That you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding. And here is where I got on a speed bump. You say you want them to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. How you do that? I'm not super smart. Definitely didn't do the college thing. But he wants them to have knowledge of the things that pass knowledge. Rose a red flag for me. So I started studying it. I was going to use Grace. Grace is usually sitting right here with a new little baby. I saw one little baby in the back, but I don't know who they are. So I'm not going to ask for them to come up and stand with a cute little baby, because that would be awkward. And we are trying to get out of awkward moments. I know it's my thing, and I don't see any babies right here, so I won't do it. But I was going to have a mom with a little baby. That baby doesn't know all the love that is possible, but knows that it's taken care of. That's how it passes all understanding. That baby has no understanding, but knows love. Hey, that's a good picture, right? I didn't know how to make it work, and I didn't ask you to bring a baby up. But think about that for a minute. This is what Paul is asking them. Sydney, I want to land the plane. So y'all just come this way. I'll feel more pressure with a little background music, and I know it takes you a little while to waddle up here. Hey. I was talking about Ray. Listen, this passage has been so fun the last couple of days because I'm like, Lord, it hurts my feelings to think about it for a minute. How can you know something that's beyond knowledge? That's the point. Paul can teach the gospel till he's blue in the face, but for them to know the love of Christ to where they pick up their cross daily and follow Jesus only happens when you fall on your knees. And I'm going to bring it down here in a minute. At the end of 19, it says, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I don't even know how to comprehend what that means. The fullness of God. No idea. But I do know that when you are filled with the fullness of God, you become faithful, not free. I'll go over here. When you get filled with the fullness of God, you become faithful, not free. Oh, amen's over here now. I like it. I love y'all for that. When you get filled with the fullness of God, you know where to access the power that you need in this life. As the Shunammite woman, the Holy Spirit wasn't relevant in that part of the Old Testament, so where did she go to get the power? The last place she saw the man of God. Without hesitation. The next time you need power, where do you go? If you are a blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a bond servant to Jesus, you stop and you hit your knees and you access that power that is already inside of you. As Paul says, through faith, it's there. I got to turn the valve of faith that says I can access that. Those of you in the midst of a trial today, in the bottom of the bottomless pit, as you look up to where you've been and where you want to go, you've got to find that faith that the Lord can do it. He is a master worth serving no matter what. Sorry, I got to have it there. He is a master worth serving all the days of your life. As you sit in the bottom of that pit, you got to look up and say, Lord, I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I need you in this moment. As Phil said, on the leadership team around here, sometimes we are privy to things going on in people's lives. Guess what? There's people that got it just like you. Guess what? Your life is just as imperfect as everybody else's. You are special, but you're no different. Is that offensive? I don't know. I'm not in that spot. I'm not worried about it. You need to surround yourself with people that will intentionally pray for you. And that's what the church exists for. Not this building, not these four walls, not this address, not this really cool leadership team, not this fancy youth pastor. No, no, you need to surround yourself with the church, the people that are born into love and service to the Lord. You need to become one of those people. You don't get to become one of those people until you surround yourself with those people. You need those people, we need you. We come in here to be intentional. We come in here on a Sunday morning not just to play faithful on Sunday, free on Monday. Some people like to be free on Sunday afternoon, right? That's not the life that Jesus has anticipated for us. If you are going to be in Exodus 21 and say, I will not leave. I have found a master worth serving. It's 2025. Never changes. If I am going to be like the Shunammite woman that looks for the power that already is inside of me, I go to the last place where it was. And for you, that's inside. How do you get that faith? Because this is the part that really blows my mind, and I still don't know how to articulate it to you guys. How do you access that faith? You find other people that know that God's going to do it. You go, I don't care if you go over to Pleasant View Drive or whatever where Phil lives. Sorry, I guess I can say that out loud. It's probably in a directory somewhere. You show up at his front door and say, this is what's going on in my life. I don't know how to tell anybody else. Will you pray for me? Yes. He will figure out how to access that faith with you and for you. You will build your faith because he has faith. You show up here, surround yourself with all of these people because they have faith for your life. They have faith in what the Lord can do for you and with you. Two sides of that coin. Kind of a sanctification story if you ask me, but we're not going there today. He knows where you are at in your journey, whether you need or whether you're ready to give. And it might be a weekly basis that you might need a need, and then next week you can give. We show up here every week. Put that DeWalt battery back on the charger. We're not giving right now. We're taking. We're sitting down and we're resting. Our shoulders are down. We might be lying at that front door as you come in when Chris Auber with the big old smile, he's going to ask everybody, how are you? How are you? 50% of the people may lie and say, fine. Stop lying. Show up in here. Let your shoulders go down and go, sucked. This week has been great. Not. I don't like any part of it. That's what we're here for. That's how you access the faith to get to that Holy Spirit. Y'all stand.